If you're into sports and you like the lighter side of sports, you might want to check out a new book called Glow, Pucks, and 10 Cent Beer, The 101 Worst Ideas in Sports History. And Greg Wyshynski is the author of this book. He's a sports writer. Greg, I always wish somebody would write a book like this. What motivated you to do it?
Well, like anybody else, you know, I've been a sports writer for over 10 years, and before that I've obviously been a sports fan for even longer. And I watch sports on television and slap my hand against my head every time I see an unfortunate idea or a bad trend that I see in sports. But I wanted to kind of set out and write a sports history book. I love sports history. I wanted to kind of tell some stories that people might not know about, like, you know, for example, the time in baseball when the spitball was legalized and things like that. But I also wanted to kind of bring, like you said, a bit of humor into it. It's a very satirical book. It deals with things in sort of a lighthearted way. It's a great little book for a good laugh at sports.
What did you have to pare your list down to get the 101?
Boy, that's a great question, because I think when I started it could have been the 301. Once you get rolling on this thing, it's hard to stop when you think back to all of the horrible ideas. I mean, even sports television. I mean, I could have done an entire book on sports television with the Heidi game between the Raiders and the Jets, you know, Dennis Miller on Monday Night Football, and, of course, the glow puck and the title. I mean, there is an endless fountain of bad ideas in sports.
Greg, is there a particular sport that you think kind of lends itself to absurdity?
I think all of sports sort of lend themselves to absurdity. I think by chance or by choice, the National Hockey League seems to be the one that offers the most bad ideas or most egregious bad ideas. I think one of the underlying themes of the book is anytime sports leagues or sports teams try to make a pitch for what they consider to be the casual fan, things really go awry. And that is a time and time again a problem with the National Hockey League. The glow puck, of course, was a dumbed-down video game version of hockey trying to attract fans. And there's a number of other things that they've done in the past, marketing-wise or tweaking the rules-wise, to try to bring fans into the game that wound up even turning off the diehards.
You know what's interesting is I think the greatest correlation between on absurdity is between sports and politics. You know, you take the politicians and you take politics in general, and I think that they're right up there with sports and the athletes sometimes.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you look at the folly of the drug testing policies in sports and how Congress, you know, stuck their nose into baseball's business. Now, granted, they did get the ball rolling a little bit with some steroid testing, but there's no question that they just added to the circus atmosphere of things. I think more so than politics, though, it's definitely finances. When finances, when greed, when avarice creep into sports, you wind up with things like personal seat licenses and the great Olympic triple cast that NBC tried to put on, where fans were paying for things that they would have gotten for free on broadcast television back in the Olympics. You know, whenever money becomes the ruler of decision making in sports, things seem to go awry.
Now, when you wrote these stories about the 101, you know, worst ideas in sports, what did you try to do in presenting them?
Well, like I said, I wanted to kind of take some stories that people wouldn't know. I didn't want to just do the greatest hits. I mean, anybody can look up Disco Demolition Night and 10 Cent Beer Night and sort of do a sports worst moments kind of thing. But I wanted to go back and find some things that I didn't even know about. I mean, for example, there was a guy named Tom Lockhart, who was a hockey promoter in New York, who, because of some scheduling conflicts, couldn't have a full slate of games. So he decided to send fake box scores into the New York Times to pretend that the games actually happened. A true story. You know, I wanted to go back and really analyze some things in sports. You know, I think one of the worst decisions in the history of the National Basketball Association is giving the Los Angeles Clippers a draft pick every year. You know, I have a chapter breaking down all of those horrible decisions. You know, and I also wanted to kind of have fun with it. You know, anytime I can do a chapter in a book on Deion Sanders' rap career, it's going to be a great chapter in a book, you know what I mean? So it's sort of a chance to have some fun with some things, but also delve into some issues. I mean, I tackle the designated hitter. I tackle artificial turf. I tackle the retirement of Jackie Robinson's number as being a bad idea.
Well, the other one that I see in the area on baseball is I'm sitting here in San Francisco where our network is headquartered, and in San Francisco's Crazy Crab. Now, a lot of people around the country and around the world may not be aware of this aspect of sports. Tell them all about it, Greg.
The Crazy Crab was one that sort of broke my heart, because you have to admit that in inspiration, the Crazy Crab is not the worst idea in sports history, and it's not even, I don't think, in the top. I think it's number 41 on the list, but the Crazy Crab was a mascot created by the San Francisco Giants. They wanted to kind of outdo the San Diego Chickens, so they decided to create a mascot. So they held a poll, and all the fan, about two-thirds of the fans in the poll say they didn't want a mascot at all. So the Giants decide to kind of take this backlash and the momentum of it and create the first anti-mascot, which is the Crazy Crab. And the Crazy Crab, if you can imagine sort of a, I don't know, like a pancake with arms, you know, and Google eyes. That's kind of what the Crazy Crab looked like. And the whole gist of the mascot was to draw the ire of fans. And unfortunately, the fans really took to that mission and started throwing things at it and pelting it with things. And in the final game of the 84 season, the last time the Crazy Crab was the team mascot, the guy in the crab suit was actually fearing for his life. The fans had turned on him so much. So from that aspect, it was a success, but the anti-mascot, clearly one of the worst ideas in sports history.
And I think you know, Greg, as well as I do, that the national anthem is a very special part of baseball, and everybody remembers Roseanne Barr singing it down in San Diego, but you have a story in this book about when Carl Lewis attempted to sing the national anthem.
Oh, my. You know, the Roseanne Barr scratch and spit incident will always go down as one of the most egregious in sports history, but yes, Carl Lewis before a New Jersey Nets game, without a doubt, the single worst rendition of the national anthem, perhaps in human history. He forgot the words. You know, he's kind of got a speaking voice like a Muppet, and at one point he tried to drop it down to sort of this Barry White baritone to kind of make up for the fact that he couldn't hit any of the notes. That added to the hilarity. The fans booed him afterwards, and the greatest moment of that whole thing was that night on SportsCenter when they showed the highlight. Charlie Steiner, who usually is a real stone-faced kind of guy, breaks up in laughter for what seemed like 25 minutes as they showed the highlight of this thing. It's a priceless bit of tape. It might be the funniest thing that's ever happened on ESPN.
One of the areas that I'm looking forward to reading in your book is called Moronic Media. What's your favorite story in that area?
You know, unfortunately, that's another place where you find a lot of fodder. You know, the media winds up screwing up sports more than helping sports. That's where you find the Heidi game. That's where you find Dennis Miller on Monday Night Football. I think pay-per-view boxing has killed that sport. But one of my biggest pet peeves, without a doubt, and you find it in the Moronic Media chapter, TV timeouts. You know, I remember going to sporting events and actually enjoying myself, you know, and not having to sit there twiddling my thumbs so they can show a bunch of local commercials for car dealerships while I'm at the game. TV timeouts have ruined a lot of sports. In hockey, TV timeouts have basically given defenders time to catch their breath. And you think back in the 80s when Gretzky was scoring all those goals, they didn't have that luxury.
In the area of chutzpah, and you have a segment called Liars, a lot of our younger listeners may not remember about Rosie Ruiz and what she did in the marathon. Tell everybody about that.
Rosie Ruiz in the Boston Marathon. Now, that is a classic case of a liar trying to pull a fast one out on the sports community. Rosie Ruiz, she's 26 years old. She finished 11th in the New York Marathon. Then in 1980, she finishes the Boston Marathon in 2 hours, 31 minutes, and 56 seconds. It's the third fastest time in history for a female runner. But then there were some problems afterwards, like the fact that she wasn't exactly tired, and she wasn't exactly, I don't know, sweaty. And then when the winner of the men's marathon asked her what her splits were, she answered, "What are splits?" Clearly, this was not someone who had actually run the race. And upon further inspection, folks found out she took a lot of shortcuts. She actually rode the train for a good stretch of the race. She basically cheated the entire way through. They threw out her performance. They threw out her performance in the New York Marathon as well. And, a sad side note to the story, she wound up getting into some trouble with the law after that. But, yeah, Rosie Ruiz, one of the sport's greatest cheaters, and lying to win the Boston Marathon, one of the worst ideas in sports history.
Yeah, and, of course, turning in that subway ticket at the end of the race was really her downfall, I think.
The greatest part is that she actually claimed once they had video surveillance footage of her, running off course, that she had been mistaken for a male runner because her hair was short.
I like the area in which you write Adventures in Egomania, and let's just talk briefly about a couple of them. Hulk Hogan as a thespian.
You know, that's one of the most frustrating chapters in the book. He's number 101 on the list. And, of the sports athletes turned actors, Hogan, I think, had the most promise. I mean, you remember Rocky III as Thunder Lips. He was fantastic in that movie. But then it's the law of diminishing returns. After that, we get Suburban Commando and Santa with Muscles and Mr. Nanny. He just couldn't recapture that Rocky glory and went on to one of the worst cinematic careers in movie history.
Let's talk about the top five briefly in the time that we have remaining. Let's start with number one, the overtime shootout.
The overtime shootout's one of the, probably the most controversial aspect of the book. A lot of people have traded barbs with me about whether the shootout's entertainment value should trump the fact that it's not exactly, well, you know, hockey. My biggest problem with it is the fact that it's a skills competition. It's no different than determining who makes the NBA playoffs by ending games with a three-point shooting competition. It's not hockey. There's not a single pass completed to win a game. There's not a single defenseman on the ice playing his position. And I've asked Commissioner Gary Bettman to his face if we'll ever see it decide the Stanley Cup, and he said no. And to me, that's an indication that it's not even good enough to be put in the playoffs and therefore one of the worst ideas in sports history.
And number two on your list, instant replay abuse.
Not instant replay itself. I'm a proponent of some forms of instant replay. My biggest problem is its overuse, like marking yardage in a football game as if it's going to be able to tell, a camera on an angle is going to be able to tell something that five guys standing around the ball couldn't tell. But my biggest problem with instant replay is when it's not used. And going back to football, pass interference is the single most important call a referee can make in a game. It could change the complexion of an entire offensive drive. We see 27 replays of it at home, but they can't review it on the field.
And then you got number three, the coin toss. There's a 50-50 chance I'm right on this. I agree with you about this one.
Well, the coin toss, I mean, it's like having a game of chance to determine one of the most important things in a football game. I mean, possession of the ball is literally what determines a win or a loss sometimes in overtime. And it's a coin toss. It's like playing a hand of poker or like spinning the giant Price is Right wheel before overtime. I mean, why on earth is this game of Warriors reduced to two guys playing old maid, basically?
And the fourth worst idea in sports history, you say, is selling your legend.
Yeah, selling your legend. And you know, you go back to the Red Sox and Babe Ruth and that curse, and you go back to the Nets selling Dr. J, and then they're in the doghouse until Jason Kidd comes along. Anytime you have a player and you sell him to a rival or an opponent, just simply because you don't think you can financially compete, it always comes back to bite your franchise.
And I love this one, the number five one, and I agree with you here too. The bronze medal from ancient Greece to Nagano, a symbol of futility.
Absolutely. Sports are about winners and losers, okay? You can give a trinket to second place, but why would you give one to third? He's closer to being fourth place than he is to first place. Why not have the aluminum medal for 10th place then? You know what I mean? Just give them all medals, you know, give them all a gold star. My biggest problem with the bronze medal is that we are rewarding third place. We don't do it in anything else except for horse racing. No one's ever going to remember who finished third in March Madness or finished third in the NFL season. Why in the Olympics do we reward futility?
Now, Greg, congratulations on it. It's a wonderful book. I'm going to take it with me on my trip and read it from cover to cover. We're going to make it a selection of the month on the Sports Byline USA Book Corner. Take care, Greg.
Hey, I appreciate it, and it's been a pleasure being with you.
Okay, Greg Wyshynski, and the name of this book is called Glow Pucks and 10-Cent Beer, the 101 Worst Ideas in Sports History. Quick break. We're back on the other side as we continue with more of you in Sports Byline.